bless you and praise you. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing here at New Generation Church. Thank you for this people. Thank you for your word tonight, Father God, that reminds us who we really are. And so we just give you the praise. We give you the glory for that. And thank you for the anointing flowing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You can go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Open your Bible with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I think that's where I put it. Maybe I've typed the wrong thing, but I don't think I did. Romans, chapter 8. Let's look at verse 10 here. It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Can we just stop and talk about that just a second there? Notice that if Christ in you, then your body is dead because you don't own your body anymore. God owns your body. But notice what it goes on and says. It says, "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Notice that. He says that if you have Christ in you, if you're a born-again child of God, then the Spirit that's on the inside of you will quicken you or make you alive. Come on, church. You see, in order for us to be dead Christians, we have to be quenching the Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time because I only got a couple that's right. In order for us to be dead Christians, dead believers, dead born-againers, we have to be quenching the Spirit of God because the Spirit gives life, not death. Come on. That means that you and I got to stir ourselves up. His Spirit is dwelling on the inside. The power of God lives in you and I. Amen. Listen to what 1 John 2:27 says this, "But the anointing which you've received of Him abideth in you." Look at your neighbor and say, "You've got an anointing. It abides in you." Do you see that? "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in Him." In other words, when I abide in the anointing, when I allow the anointing of God to flow through me and move in me, the Spirit of God then will teach me, He'll show me, provide for me, so that I know what's right and what's wrong. Amen. That comes through the anointing of God. Let me give you another scripture. 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see, when you start looking and studying this out, that word anointing in 1 John 2:27 and that word unction in 1 John 2:20 is the same word, the same Greek word, charisma. Charisma. And that word charisma means, remember I said the other day talking about the anointing, smeared in, rubbed on? Well, the word charisma means a smearing. But it also means a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. So you have a special endowment of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You ought to get excited about that. The world does not have what you have. The world tries to act like they're better than Christians, but we got something they ain't got. Come on. You see, when we start seeing that and start understanding that, then we can start to be more like we need to be, children of God that have some power. Because most of the church don't act like they have any power. Listen to 1 John 4:4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." Greater is He that's in you. What I'm trying to get across to you right now is the fact that there's something in you. There is something in you. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you if you're a born-again child of God. It's called the anointing. It's called an unction. He's called the Holy Spirit. Come on now. That's how we know we are of God, is because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. If we don't have the Holy Spirit living in us, then we're not of God. Amen. So, see, here's the thing. Most of the church doesn't realize that there is more to salvation than being saved. Most of the church just believes that you get saved. You accept Jesus Christ, you just get saved. And they don't even think about the fact that they become new creatures and that the Holy Ghost comes to live in us, to have His abode in us. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? The Bible teaches, says, what? Know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost and you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. See, we belong to Him. Once we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we surrendered everything. Come on now. I don't own any of me. He owns it all because He paid the price for it all. And that's why not only is my spirit man now having the Holy Spirit live inside, now I also understand that my body belongs to Him. Right? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? See, so all of me belongs to God. So I have to start realizing really that I'm not my own. Everything that I do, say, and am is because of Him. And I know that goes crossways to the world because the world wants everybody to look at them. I started thinking about that. It's not about us, folks. It's about Him. I like a little thing, and it might probably make some people mad at me about this, but I don't care, you know, how I am. I just saw a little thing on Facebook, maybe some of you all saw it too, talking about our national anthem. How they, you know, they play the national anthem before all the sports events. And almost every person that they put up there to sing the national anthem must showcase their talent. You know, they've got to put their high to it. They've got to hold out that note until everybody else is choked. And they're always, it's all about them and how they can sing the national anthem. And that thing on Facebook talked about, how about those Marines over there? And how about those soldiers over there? And how about that wounded veteran over there? How about the song's not for you to showcase your talents. The song is to honor those that have went and fallen for us and those that are still fighting for our freedom. Not about you coming and showing what kind of superstar you are. You see, when I read that, I thought about us Christians. Come on, think about it now. How many superstar preachers there are? You got to go to a coliseum and you got to charge for seats because you're so good. Come on now. I had a guy one. I was thinking about having come in here one time. He's not, you know, he's pretty well known and all that stuff. But you know, he asked me. He said, "How many seats do you have in your sanctuary?" I said, "Well, we got probably 300. I said, "We've had 500. "Well, you've got to have at least 500 in the building before you have me in because I draw a big crowd." We've never had him in. Never had him in. Most of you like him probably. You just ain't been around him though to know. See, that's the thing you've got to understand, church. You see, there are a lot of folks, yes, they're anointed, but here's the thing. Sometimes they let the anointing go to their head. You can never let the anointing go to your head. You are just as anointed as the most famous personality that's on TV or anywhere else because you're anointed with the same anointing. Amen. And we got to realize that anointing is on the inside of us. We have it, but most of the church does not realize it. See, because some have taken it to that extreme of where, you know, I'm a superstar, but then the others take it the other way to where we're, you know, we're just old slugs. We're just nobodies, right? And they don't realize that, you know, I heard that song the other day again, that I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody, save my soul. Well, that's good to tell everybody, but you're not a nobody. You see, but see, that's that mentality of being a nobody. And I know it's a famous song and, you know, popular song and made big on the charts. But see, people like to sing stuff like that. They think they're being holy by saying they're a nobody, when really what they're doing is they're trampling on the covenant they have with God. Because when you say you're a nobody, you're calling God a liar. When you say you're a nothing, you're calling God a liar, because God's word says otherwise. He says that you have an anointing on the inside of you, and the same Spirit that raised God up lives on the inside of you. The same Spirit. I'll bring the scripture to you just in a minute here. But the church just doesn't realize that the Holy Ghost comes and lives on the inside of us. Look here in Acts 1:8. That ought to be familiar to you. Acts 1:8. He says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Notice, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's why it's so important to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, so the power of God can come upon you. Now let me give you another scripture here. Matthew 20:18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now he goes on and says, "Go ye therefore." You know what he just said? He said, "I've been given all the power, and so now I'm going to transfer that power over to you. So here it is. I'm anointing you for you to go out and teach all nations. You go tell them what you've been taught." You see, you're anointed to go out into this world and tell people about Jesus, and also tell them about how the power of God operates in them once they give their life to Jesus. Amen. You see, most of the church just comes and sits in the church. Come on. They very seldom do most church members even witness to somebody else. Matter of fact, a lot of times the only way you ever find out that they're a Christian if you was to run into them at church somewhere. Because out in the world, you'd never know it by the way they act. Come on. You can work with them, be around them or whatever, and you probably won't even know a lot of them were Christians. But then happen to get them kind of in a religious atmosphere, and then all of a sudden then they feel a little safe and they'll talk a little bit then. Listen, we need to be sticking out here in this world because we're peculiar. People need to understand and know that we are children of God. Amen. I don't know, I think I told this, but I'll tell it again just because it goes along with this. Because you can't be ashamed of what God's put in you. I met somebody at Walmart out there, and they were talking to me, we were talking low, because you wouldn't want people around you to hear, talking about Jesus. And they said something about they needed me to, when I prayed, if it didn't cure, just remember them in prayer. Well, I just laid hands on them right there and prayed out loud, And of course, it kind of shocked them, but they received the prayer and stuff. And then after a while, there was a lady walked up to me, and she went, "You don't see that much anymore." I said, "What's that?" She said, "People praying in public like that." I think I already told you. But see, that's not about me. It's about what's in me. And it's what's in you. The same anointing is in you that's in me. Now, we have different callings on our lives and different giftings that God gives people with. But we all are anointed to be witnesses for God, so that the power of God that's in us can go out of us into somebody and help them. Amen. Jesus had power go out of him to heal. Right? Came out of him. When that woman with the issue of blood touched him, she received from God, and Jesus said, "I felt virtue go out of me. I felt power go out of me." In other words, he said, the anointing just touched somebody. And see, there's an anointing in you, and you don't have to always have to have somebody lay hands on you. Did you hear me? Brother Chris was just testifying to us here before we got ready to start the service today that he had an attack. Something has happened. It was had such pain in his stomach, and he said it's to the point he was in a meeting. He had to go to the bathroom, and he was just standing there, and he said, and he just said, "God help me." And he said, just like that, pain's gone. Well, see, I mean, that's the anointing of God, him using it on himself. Come on, you know, you got to realize that anointing's in you and it's for you too. Right? You have that well of water that you can draw from, then you have those rivers of living water that's coming out of you for somebody else. So there's anointing on the inside of you that'll help you, but it's also given to you so that you can help. God didn't baptize you with the Holy Ghost so you could just go out around speaking in tongues, telling everybody, "Well, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost." You know, power's no good. It don't do you any good to have one of those big souped-up race cars if you don't ever get to burn some rubber every now and then. Right? Come on, Pastor Ed doesn't like, she doesn't like to ride on the side-by-side with me because, you know, I got a razor and it's pretty souped up, and I like to hot rod that thing. The only problem is the passenger never knows when you're going to tromp it, and so it throws you around and she gets mad at me. I don't like this thing. I you all the time doing that. Well, I can't help it. I got power and I want to use it. You know, I get into a curve, I want to tromp it so it goes sideways around that curve. Right? We got power on the inside of us. We ought to be wanting to use it. And see, here's the thing about one is for us to have fun on that natural, but in the supernatural, when you and I gasp the anointing, God gets glory. The power operates, but He's glorified because He's the healer, right? He's the one that changes people's lives, but it's up to you and I to realize that that's in me. That's in me. I'll never forget. I got my brother-in-law on that thing, on that side-by-side one day, and he had never been on one like that before because I'd never had one like that before. And I got him in, and we were going to go somewhere, and we was when Stephanie was building her house, and we was up on that dirt. And so I got him in there, and I said, "Hold on," and I just tromped him. You know, we're burning. We're going, and his eyes got about that big turn. He said, "I see why people get killed on these things now." You know, but we didn't do anything going to get us killed, but it, you know, it shocked him when it took. How about us starting to shock the devil some? How about we just go ahead and let the power of God flow through us and start touching people's lives? Stephanie said it great a few minutes ago. We don't have lost people come to church because we don't invite lost people to come to church. Come on. We all guilty. I said we. I'm talking about me too. We don't invite folks like we should. We're just happy to get to come. And sometimes you can look around, even the Christians won't come. Especially if we got a ball game or, well, just forget that. There's something all the time. It don't matter, have to be ball. It just things all the time, right? I mean, you know, I can't say that. I'll make some folks mad. We give trophies to people that don't even play. They don't even have games. Sorry. I mean, we do. Come on. Everybody wants, you know, everybody wants a trophy. Everybody wants a check whether they work or not. Right? Come on, everybody wants money. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. I saw where they was taking millions out of the COVID fund that was supposed to go to people, issuing $1,000 checks to illegal immigrants. Not to Americans where the taxpayer money came from. Please understand the government has no money. Right? Come on, you've got to understand, they got no money. They don't work. If there's any money in the government fund, it came out of your pocket. And so when they give that money away, they act like they're doing you a favor. It's the same thing with your Social Security and everything else. I know I'm off topic a little bit, but I'm on a soapbox, okay? You have to understand those things that are going on. Amen. That's why we with the anointing need to rise up and we need to start praying so some of that junk is broken. Come on, the only one going to change this earth, this world, this country is you and I, the righteousness of God, when we lift up a prayer, because the prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It changes things. That's what that anointing on the inside of you is part of. I'll show you just in just a minute. So he says, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then Jesus says, all power is given to me, but I'm giving it to you. And then Luke chapter 10, he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you see that? Man, what would happen if we really believed that? Power over all serpents and scorpions. It's talking about demonic spirits there, folks. It's talking about those that are influencing our government and government officials and causing them to do all this stupid stuff. Come on. You see, I mean, there's just so much things that are going on that you have to understand there's demonic influence behind that, but you and I have power over that. But we have to come together and be effective and let that anointing flow from us, okay? Now, he goes on and says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, what he's saying is this: I've given you power over all the enemy, but don't you gloat about it. You understand that because you are children of God, I'm able to give this to you so that you can use it in the world and have authority over the enemy. But it's not because of you, it's because of me in you. It's because that anointing in you. It's because the power of God that's on the inside of you. So as we look at this, we have to know the significance of the anointing. We have to really understand that. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, I told you that we'd kind of get around to this. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off thy shoulder and his yoke taken off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Notice that. You know what he just said? He said, we're burden removing, yoke destroying children of God. Amen. That's who you are. And most people don't get too excited about you. I don't seem too excited about it tonight, but it's still truth. It's still the truth. That's who you are. Burden removing, yoke destroying, children of God. That means the enemy has no power over you. See, when you stand up and begin to say, Lord, I realize I'm an anointed, and when the devil starts coming around, you need to just let him know who you are. You don't understand that when Paul said, remember the sons of Sceva when they tried to cast out the devil and that demon out of the guy, and he left, they ran out of there naked, running for their lives. You know, they came up to them and they said, we adjure you by whom Paul preaches that you come out of that man. And the demon spoke up. Which means he already had full authority over the man because he's now got authority over his voice. And the demon speaks up and he says, I know Jesus. Well, you know he knows Jesus because Jesus is the one that whipped up on him. And he said, I know Paul. How did he know Paul? Because of the anointing that was in him. But he looked at him and said, but who are you? And then he jumped onto him. See, the devil recognizes the anointing because he was once anointed. He was the anointed cherub. So he recognizes the anointing. So see, when he comes towards you and comes after you, even though he sees an anointing, he's got a 50-50 chance whether or not he's going to mess with you. Did you hear what I said? 50-50 chance. Well, you mean 50-50. I mean, that means you're either going to stand up and say, I'm anointed, you can't touch me, or you're going to let him do what he wants to do. Keep your mouth shut and just act like everybody else. You don't have to act like everybody else because you're not like everybody else. You're an anointed child of God, burden removing, yoke destroying child of God. You do not have to submit to the enemy. He has no place in your life. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. And so we don't have to give place to the devil. The trouble is, we're so bad to give him permission. A lot of times it's with our mouth, the words we say, the things we do. Right? Come on. You know, anybody ever watch any vampire movies? Come on now. Maybe when you was younger or any of that. One of the things about vampire movies was this. The vampire had to be invited into the house before he could come in and bite somebody. Now, we know there's no such thing as vampires and all that. Now, you know, I'm just talking from what I remember, okay? Don't get mad at Pastor, okay? You know. But you know, truthfully, it's kind of fun when you realize who you are. Back then, it used to scare people, and, you know, it'd be scary. We'd sit up on New Year's Eve night all night long watching those things. Didn't know any better. We'd just watch them, you know. We're scared back then. But now I know. Even though there's no such things but demonic things, they're still there. And we have power over all the power of the enemy. The vampire had to be invited in. You know what? The devil's got to be invited in for him to get a hold of you. Now, he'll try to attack you when he doesn't have permission. But you've got to understand, you have to, when he tries to attack, say, oh, no, 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 no. This body right here, this belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. You have no business trying to trespass on God's property. Matter of fact, trespassers are going to be shot on sight and start shooting him with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did, right? It is written. Come on, church. See, that's the power that's in you. But we don't exercise that. We don't use that power to go ahead and get the victory. We kind of hum-haul around and act like we had it. But we don't go ahead and use it. God's telling us we need to make sure we use it. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 13, if you want to turn over there with me, I just want to read a couple verses here. 2 Kings chapter 13, let's look at verse 20. It said, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now, I want you to understand something. That bones don't raise people from the dead. Did you hear me? What was it about the bones that raised the man from the dead and caused him to revive? It was the residual anointing that was still in those bones. Can you imagine how the anointing was operating when he was alive? Now Elisha's dead and his bones are still raising people from the dead. Come on, that ought to tell you what's on the inside of you. Come on, you're alive. And so greater is that anointing in you. Come on now. You've got that kind of anointing on the inside of you. We have it resonating in us. And so many times we act like we're nothing. And it don't matter, you know, we can't do anything. And you know, what am I going to do? Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Your prayer in itself changes things. And then, of course, you have the Word of God that you can start speaking against things and start bringing things in by speaking. Come on. See, it works both ways. You can speak against something and you can speak for something. Amen. Because I realize I'm anointed in God. This is what God says I can do. Amen. So, you know, I mean, that's why the Bible talks about decreeing a thing and it being established to you. Right? Now, in Luke chapter 19... There's a story, and I just want to show you this. We're getting ready to close here just in a little bit. But just go with me over to Luke chapter 19. And let's look at verse 12 here. Now, Jesus has given a parable. How many knows that Jesus gave parables many times about earthly things to explain spiritual things? Or there would be a parallel spiritual meaning in what he was saying. So here, he's using an earthly thing to give a parallel thing about really the return of the Son of Man. He says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, who does that sound like to you? That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? When he went up and said, I'll be back, right? He says, I'll return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Now, here's the natural story is this. The master's leaving. He's going to go get a kingdom. He's coming back. And he gives his servants everything they need to do business for him till he returns. He fully equips them so that they can trade, do business, whatever they need to do till he comes back. Occupy till I come. Right? Control till I come. Rule till I come. Now that's the earth version. We see the same things happen to you and I. Jesus was trying to say, listen, I'm going to go away, but I'm coming back again. But here, I'm giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm giving you all things as concerning my power. I'm giving you my name. I'm giving you my anointing. And when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down, and He's going to live on the inside of you so you can occupy till I come back. Do business for me. Till I come back. What's that mean? Well, that means cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Yes. Come on. That's the business he was doing before he left, right? He said, the works that I do, even greater works you'll do, because I go to my Father. There's only one of me, but when I go to my Father, I'm sending the Holy Ghost down, and He's going to be in all of you. And all of you are going to be able to do the works. Hallelujah. Greater works. Now, here's the thing. The church is not rising up to do them. We're not acting like them. We don't pretend like them. We're not moving like we have a greater anointing in our lives. Come on. I understand Jesus had the Spirit without measure, but we together have the Spirit without measure. And so we need to be doing what Jesus said for us to do. We need to be doing the works. Jesus said, for this purpose was the Son of manifest, the Son of God manifest, so that He could destroy the works of the devil. And that's what you and I need to be doing. Destroy the works of the devil in people's lives. Get them saved. Destroy the works of the devil. Get them healed. Come on now. Destroy the works of the devil. Let's abolish poverty. Poverty ain't nothing but the devil. Come on. Lack and defeat and want, that's all the devil. Anything that's good and perfect comes down from the Father of lights, the Word of God declares, right? So if we'll stand up and we'll begin to let the anointing of God that's in our life, let it begin to show up. And as a whole, as a body and individuals, we'll see things start changing. God's given us everything that we need to occupy till He comes, but we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to make up our mind. I'm not just a regular person. Not just as somebody, not as Brother Rick says, a lot of times just mere human beings, but I am an anointed individual. I'm an anointed son, daughter of God, and God has called me for such a time as this. It's time for the church to rise up. Start letting that anointing change the situations around us and in our lives. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father God, Lord, that your word declares who we are. We need to understand and know, Father God, what we have on the inside of us. And not only do we need to know and understand, God, but we need to exercise it. We need to allow that anointing to flow through us and flow out of us, God, so that you get the glory and the honor. It's not just about us being blessed, but it's about, Father, you using us, making us instruments that are fit for the Master's use. Help us, Lord, to be just that. And we just give you glory. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anybody in the house need prayer tonight for anything? Hallelujah. If you don't need to come, why don't you just lift up your hands toward her? We'll go ahead and pray.
nothing to you, Father. You were grateful.